Well, good morning, church. Come on, give me some noise out there one more time. Let me know you're alive out there. Well, good morning. Happy New Year once again. You know, this morning is going to be a little bit different kind of a service. This is a Sunday that we call Vision Sunday. And so we're going to be celebrating some things this morning. We're going to be talking about some amazing things that God has been doing here over the last year. And then we're going to be talking about where we're headed here in 2024 and really beyond. I want you to know this is a Sunday that I have personally been praying about. I know Greg, our elder, has been praying about with me, and our leadership team, our deacons, our ministry leaders have been praying about for probably about 6 months now. We've been talking about where we're going to be headed in 2024. And so this is a big day. It's a monumental, huge day in the history of True North Church. I want you to know that as we begin. And it is a day that I have been dreaming about and excited about for many months. And so before we get into that, I do want to just stop, pause for a second, and just look back on 2023 and really look back on the history of our church over the last 4.5 years since we began this church. For those of you that are maybe a little bit newer and don't know this and weren't around kind of at the start, True North Church began officially in September of 2019. And we started at Shaler Elementary School. We did set up and tear down for the first 6 months of our ministry. It was a blast, but it was grueling. It was a lot of work. It took many, many extra hours to set up and tear down every single week. And then about 6 months into that, we had COVID-19 hit. And we were kicked out of the school. We had nowhere to meet. We had nowhere to go. We didn't know where we were going to do church. And so we did church online for a while and then eventually ended up meeting at North Park for months and months outside, just meeting at a pavilion. And we did church that way for a while. And then eventually we were in some buildings at North Park and then finally moved in to this space. And so the beginning of True North's journey really has been a lot of challenge. I mean, all church planting is challenging, but to go through that season was truly a challenge. And yet what I look back on in all of that is just the amazing grace of God through all of that. That in spite of that, we did not fold and crumble as a church. We kept doing what God called us to do. We kept just staying obedient to the mission to try to reach as many people as we can for Christ and disciple them. And God blessed. And he has continued to do that right up until this day. And when I look around this room, I see people that God has brought into this church that have now become family. And what an amazing blessing that is. Again, the grace of God is just all over that. I am personally so thankful that I get to be the pastor of this community, that I get to lead the people of this community. I get to be in a relationship with the people of this community. Over the last year, we saw some great things happening here. Our church over the last year has grown by about 20%. That's exciting. I look around our world and I see many, many churches who are not only not growing, they're declining. And I'm going to share some statistics on that in a moment. I am so grateful for the people who have come to faith in this church and really begun their faith journey. Last year, we baptized 4 people. What an amazing thing that is to be able to say that there are people who are coming to faith, who are getting baptized, and who are growing in their faith. One of the things I'm most proud of about this church is last year we had 90 people, students and adults, engaging in life groups on a weekly basis. Now, we're not that big of a church. 90 people is about 75% of our church body actively engaging in life groups with one another, growing in their faith with one another, encouraging each other, keeping each other accountable. That's a huge deal. That's something to be celebrated. We had over 70 people last year that were serving and volunteering in our church in order to make this ministry happen and go. We need people. And you have stepped up. Our church family has stepped up. And I'm so proud of how our church family gives and sacrifices week in and week out. Last year, we were able to give more money than we have ever given in the history of our church. I know we're only going into year 5 here, but each year we have been able to give more and more because of the generosity and the faithfulness of God and of our people. So last year we gave over $34,000 to outreach ministries in Pittsburgh and around the world. We packed over 350 care kits for Light of Life. I don't even know what the dollar amount of that was, but it was in the thousands, and we're able to provide Light of Life with those. We had over 70 bags for Foster Love Project that were donated. Again, I don't know what the monetary value of all that is, but we're talking thousands of dollars. We were able to do some huge things, some huge outreach last year. And again, I'm so proud of our community for stepping up and doing that. And for God, I'm so grateful to God for providing all of that. 40 of us managed to make it through the chapter a day Bible reading plan last year. That might not sound like a lot, but to me, to think about 40 people committing to reading the Word of God daily and actually doing that throughout the year, that is such an encouragement to me. We care deeply around here about people knowing God, knowing Christ, and being in the Word is how we get to know Him better than anything else. And so we saw many of you taking that journey with us. Over the last year, we had over 16 students engaging regularly in our student ministry. That might not seem like very many, but I want to encourage you with this. We started our student ministry a little less than 2 years ago with 3 students. So it is amazing to me to see how God is growing that ministry. And I want to give a shout out to our student ministry team and to our students. Many of those students who have started to come have come because a student invited a friend to come. That's an amazing thing to me, to watch our young people, our next generation, taking their faith seriously and inviting their friends to come and hear about Jesus. We had over 36 kids engaging in our kids' ministry program last year. Again, I just want to give a shout out to our kids' ministry team. I care deeply about the next generation. We care about the next generation here as a church. It is so important, the foundation that's being built for those children week in and week out. Thank you to the teachers, all who are helping in some way with our kids' ministry. Those children are discovering Jesus, hearing about Jesus on their level. And many of them have made professions of faith in our kids' ministry. And so, I mean, I say all of that to simply say, God is on the move here. He's working here. Things are happening here. People's lives are being transformed. Those are just the quantitative numbers that I can share with you. There are countless, countless stories. Greg and I could share with you the people that we have prayed with and prayed for. The life change that has happened just in the last year here is incredible. And I'm so thankful to God for it. And yet, as we head into 2024, I have felt a tremendous burden throughout most of 2023. Specifically, really the last half of 2023. You see, in spite of the amazing things that are happening here, there is a world outside of this place, in Pittsburgh, in our region and beyond, where there are so many people that are hurting. There are so many people that are lost and they don't even know it. And they are far from God. I had the opportunity to read a book this year called The Great Dechurching. And some of the statistics in this book were fascinating to me. One of the big ones was that since the year 2000, so we're talking about 24 years now, quarter of a century, 40 million people have left the church. They've just given up on being a part of the local church. Many of those have given up completely on their faith altogether, and a lot of them have just said, I don't want to have anything to do with the church, the institution that they see the church as. Every single year, 3,700 churches close their doors. 3,700 churches. And so as I think about that, where my mind goes is that if we don't do something about that, if the church doesn't step up and do something about that, what's going to happen in another 25 years? Did you know this? Maybe you do, maybe you don't. That North America is now the only continent in the world where Christianity is not growing. It is declining. If we don't do something, if the church doesn't stand up and do something about that, what will become of our nation, of this continent? And so the question that that led me to as I thought about all of that is, why is that happening here? Why here, of all places, is that happening? Why is it growing in other parts of the world, but here in the United States and Canada, North America, it's not? It's not only just stagnant, it's actually declining considerably. Why is it happening? What can we do about it? Is there anything that we can do about it? And so as we head into 2024, what I want to do today is I want to talk about that for a minute. And I want to cast some vision for where we're headed as a church. Why is it that that's happening, and what can we actually do about it? Well, let's tackle the why first. I don't know this unequivocally, but as I discern what's going on in our world, in our culture, as I see what's happening in people's lives, here's what I believe God has opened my eyes to. We are a complacent and comfortable nation in almost every possible way. In fact, I would argue that comfort and complacency for many people has actually become their God. It is the number one, highest, most important thing in their life to make sure they are comfortable in their finances, in their jobs, in their leisure time, their leisure activities, whatever it might be. To make sure that I am comfortable, that is my highest priority. And unfortunately, here's what I believe has happened. It has crept its way even into the church. It's crept its way into Christianity. And we need to hear this today. Comfort is an enemy that will keep us from growing, not only personally in our own lives, but it will keep us from advancing the kingdom and advancing the gospel of Jesus Christ in this world. I would argue it might be the number one thing right now in our culture that is keeping people from actually fulfilling the mission of Jesus Christ in our world. Because the reason that it's declining, the reason that less and less people are following Jesus is because Christians are unwilling to stand up for the gospel of Jesus Christ in the world and to be bold and to not back down when people push back against it. The reason that it's declining is we're afraid, I think many of us. We're afraid to talk about Jesus because all of a sudden we are now in a post-Christian culture where Jesus is not exactly popular to talk about. But the truth is this, we have allowed that to happen. We have allowed that to happen by being silent, by not talking about our faith, by not encouraging others to follow Jesus, by just simply getting saved, because I think this is what happens for the vast majority of Christians. We get saved, we are so thankful for that, but then we just kind of live our lives without ever giving any thought to the people around us who also need the gospel. And so why is this happening in our culture? I think we've gotten comfortable. I think instead of being motivated by the grace of Jesus Christ, we're motivated by fear. We're motivated by what can I do to sacrifice as little as possible instead of by the grace of God. And I want us to hear this today. See, we know this. Those of us who've kind of grown up in the church, if you've been coming to True North for a while, you know this, right? We believe God has called us to sacrifice some things for his kingdom. He absolutely has. And yet there are many people who are unwilling to sacrifice anything, let alone everything, for the gospel. That's the culture that we're living in. And the reason that that is because the vast majority of us don't fully live in the grace of Jesus Christ. There is only one thing, one right motivation, I'll call it, for us to devote our lives to the mission that Jesus Christ has called us to. That is the grace that he has poured out on us. Any other motivation, you know what it ultimately devolves to? Legalism, religion. I have to do these things. I have to give up. I have to sacrifice. I have to do all the things, check all the boxes so that I don't look bad to God. And can I just be completely and brutally honest with you this morning? That's not a great motivator. It's not. It might motivate you for a second because what it's motivating you out of is fear. Fear is not a good motivator. We all know this. It's not a great motivator. The greatest motivator is love. It's love. It's the grace of Jesus Christ. And so what I want us to hear this morning is this. It's only when we recognize how lost and incapable we were before Christ saved us. It's only when we recognize the lengths Christ went to for our salvation that we will be set free to actually get beyond the fear and the complacency and the comfort that many of us live in. I love this verse, Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. This is the gospel, really. It says, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works so that no one can boast. We are saved through faith in Jesus Christ by his grace and grace alone. We can do nothing to earn it. It says then, for we are God's handiwork created in Christ Jesus to do good works, though, which God prepared in advance for us to do. And so, honestly, I'm going to talk about a lot of things here this morning. But if you hear nothing else, this is what I want you to walk out of here with this morning. If you have put your faith in Jesus, if he has changed you, if he has transformed you, if he has done something in your life, if he has given you hope, if he has given you purpose, he is to be worshiped and celebrated above all. He is to be the one that we now give our lives to. We devote our lives to his mission and purpose in this world. Why? Not because we have to earn his grace, but because he's already given us his amazing grace. He's given us everything that we will ever need to feel fulfilled in life. I don't need anything else. Even as I prepared to come up here and preach this morning, I had a moment. And I can't even tell you how freeing this is because I forget it sometimes. There's a pressure I feel sometimes to get up here and to speak and to inspire and to preach the word of God. And you know what I thought when I was standing there this morning? Justin, you are loved. Jesus already set me free from having to perform in any possible way in this life. And when you get up there to speak, all you have to do is just embrace the grace that he's already given you, because that's what makes you who you are. You don't need anything else. You don't need a church to grow. You don't need money. You don't need stuff. You don't need acclaim in the world. I have everything that I need. That's freeing. And it's only when we get to that place, then we begin to become free to just give, to serve, and to fulfill the mission that God has called us to. And I think sadly, many of us are not there. For me, I'm fighting that regularly. I'm fighting that on a daily basis. Right? But if we understand that, if we get that, we are able to walk in this life no longer living in fear. I don't have to live in fear anymore. And what it becomes is it becomes my joy to simply proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. That's it. That's my only job. That's my only goal, is to live and to speak in such a way that people see Jesus Christ. And if I do that, that's it. That's all I need. And that is what I want for us. As I think about you, my people, who I love, who I've been entrusted with shepherding, more than anything, what I want is for you to get to that place where you are so satisfied in Jesus Christ that all the other wants and desires of this life fade away. And you are free to just begin to proclaim the name of Jesus. That's what I want for us. You know, the bottom line is that in Christ, we no longer live in fear of losing because, right, we have all we need. And we recognize this, that to sacrifice for Jesus Christ is where we will discover the most joy and purpose. I love this verse as well. This is Luke 9, 23 to 26. It says, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit their very self, their very soul, some translations say. Whoever is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them and when he comes in his glory and in the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. See, here's what most people think. If I sacrifice all for Jesus, if I give up my wants and my desires, I'm not going to be happy. I'm not going to feel fulfilled. I'll never have joy. I'll never have true peace. Jesus tells us it is the opposite. Don't be fooled. Don't be duped by the lie that Satan, our enemy, and our culture wants us to believe. Those things will never give you what you think they will give you. Only Jesus Christ's amazing grace and then our obedience back to him, living for him, will give us the thing that we really want, that joy, that satisfaction, that purpose that we so desire. See, I think for many people, we don't really look any differently than the rest of the world. For many Christians, they have Jesus, they say they're followers of Jesus. If you were to talk to them and ask them, they would tell you, yes, I'm a Christian, I believe Jesus is the Son of God, he died for my sins. And yet, unfortunately, that's where it ends. The vast majority of Christians in the last year, in 2023, have not had a single conversation with someone who does not believe in Jesus about Jesus Christ. The vast majority of people have just kind of lived their life just like everybody else, and they look no different. They don't look any different in the way they talk. They don't look any different in the way they think. They don't look any different in the way they spend their money. They don't look any different. And I would argue this is one of the primary reasons why Christianity is declining in this culture, in this context. Because people are not seeing what is different about us. They're not seeing how much better life is when you follow Jesus, when you are obedient to his ways, when you surrender your life to him, when you no longer have to live for the pleasures of this world. They're not seeing that. And so when they look at Christianity, there's no reason for them to come to it because it's not any better than what they're living in. And that should be wildly convicting to us. All right, I think what's happened, and I have talked about this several times over the last year, but I think what's happened is in our effort to kind of be like the world, to not push people away, and we don't want to be over the top with this Jesus thing, in our effort to do that, what we've actually done is drive people away. Because there's really nothing, they're not seeing anything better about being part of this thing called the church, about coming into faith in Jesus. And so the question is, what does it look like to actually live differently? That's a huge question I want to answer this morning. for us as a church, True North Church, as we head into 2024 and beyond. What does that mean? Well, I'm so thankful God makes it very simple. He really does. There are only two challenges or commands that God puts the word great before. That's it. Just two. There's the great commandment and there's the great commission. Right? The great commandment says this: teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. What does it look like to be different from the world? It is to selflessly, sacrificially love God and love people. It is to serve God, to serve people, to invest in people, to care about people, to care about their souls, to care about their families, to care about what's happening in their life. It's really simple. Love God by loving people. That's the great commandment, right? Listen to them. Care about who they are and where they've been. And then out of that, how do we love them? What's the greatest way that we can love them? By sharing the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ with them. We can give people lots of things that will be helpful to them in this life. There is nothing that we can give them that will be more helpful, more transformational than the gospel. And yet, as I said, in 2023, I would argue the vast majority of Christians did not share the gospel with a single person who does not know Christ. If that's the number one thing that we can share with them, I think we need to have a moment here. Not just True North Church, but I think that just the church in America. If that's the number one thing, why aren't we doing it? Because this is the command, this is the commission, the great commission that Jesus gave us. He said, or it says, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Church, we have one purpose in this life. If you are a follower of Jesus, and honestly, if you're not, this doesn't apply to you, not yet. But if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you have experienced the amazing grace that he has given to you, if you have been adopted as a son, as a daughter, into the kingdom of heaven, into the family of God, if you've been given hope and joy and purpose, our deepest desire should be to see other people experience that same hope and purpose. The question is why? Why is it that that's not a high priority or the highest priority for us? I think it's very simple. We're comfortable, we're afraid, we're self-consumed. I'm good. I got Jesus, so I'm good. But as a follower of Jesus, what did he say? Pick up your cross and follow me. To pick up our cross and to follow Jesus is to live the way that Jesus lived. To put the needs of others first, to sacrifice everything that we can to see others know Jesus. Because eternity is a long time. There should be a burning passion inside of us for that. It should be our number one purpose in life, to make disciples. That's what the Great Commission says. Go therefore into all the nations and make disciples. Church, hear me today. That is why you are here. That's why you're here. It's not to make a bunch of money. It's not to climb the ladder of success. It's not to just have pleasure and enjoy the pleasures of life. It is to make disciples. It's to make disciples. And so as I think about that, and I think about who we are as a church, who God has called the church to be, and then who God has called True North Church to be, here's my greatest fear and my greatest concern for us as a church. When we started this church 4.5 years ago, there were only about 30 people who were intimately involved in the startup of the church. And when we started it, there was so much excitement. I mean, I can't even tell you. There was a buzz. There was an energy. It was amazing. And it was hard, hard work. And one of my biggest concerns is that the longer we go as a church, the more we will lose that enthusiasm, that energy, that excitement. Because do you know why we were so excited when we started this church? We were going to reach people for Jesus Christ. That's it. That's why we were excited. To share the good news of the gospel, to see people come to faith, to baptize people, to see people growing and maturing, and to become disciple makers themselves. And I'm not saying that that's not happening. We talked about all the amazing things God did last year. He is absolutely doing good things. But I need you to understand something about who we are as a church and who I am as a leader. We will never settle for where we are. There is always more that we can strive for. Always. Why is that? Because there are millions of people, millions of them in our region alone who do not know Christ. And until every single last one of them knows Jesus Christ as their Lord and personal Savior, we will not stop. We are going to do everything that we can to reach them. And so I don't want to become complacent. I don't want to become a people who are satisfied with simply going through the church motions. I love this place. I love coming in here on Sunday morning and being with you. I absolutely do. It's one of my favorite times of the week. But if this church doesn't leave this place after Sunday morning and go back out into our world and live this thing out, we are missing the mark. We're missing the mark. And so I want to talk about where we're headed in 2024. All that, knowing all that, that's all foundation. If we really believe that, that's our mission. If we believe that there are lost people who need to know the love and grace of Jesus Christ, then we've got to do something about it, church. We got to do something about it. And it's more than just simply holding a service on a Sunday morning for an hour. Lost people are not just walking into a church. They're not. We got to go find them. We got to build relationships with them. We got to introduce them to this thing that we have. And we need to hear this again today. There's a chasm. There is a gap as wide as the east is to the west of the United States. I mean, there's a massive gap between the vast majority of people who do not know Christ and the gospel of Jesus Christ. And do you know who the bridge is to that gap? You and me. We are the bridge. We are the ones who have been called into the family of God to be sent back out on mission for Jesus Christ to bridge that gap. Right? And we're motivated. Hopefully what I've done this morning is just lay a foundation to motivate us for the right reasons. Why are we motivated to do that, church? Not because we're afraid that if we don't do it, we're not going to be good enough to get into heaven. We're motivated by the grace of Jesus and what he's poured out on us. We're motivated to follow him and do what he did. I love Luke 19:10. It says, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." Why did Jesus come? To seek and to save lost people. He calls us to pick up our cross and to follow him, to do what he did. And therefore, we are called to seek and to save lost people, to see people who are walking in darkness set free. And there are so many people that are walking in darkness. And so I want to share with you our vision. It's actually been up on that wall back in our welcome space for a year. And many of you maybe have walked by that, you've looked at that. And we talked about it a little bit last year, but this year, 2024, we're going to get serious about that vision. See, because a big vision, and it's a big vision, let me tell you right now, a big vision requires planning. It requires sacrifice. It requires us to actually do something to accomplish that vision. And I will be the first one to take responsibility and say, we didn't have a plan last year. We had a vision, but we didn't have a plan. And so I want to share that vision with you for a moment, and then I want to share with you what that plan is and where we're headed. Our vision is to bridge the gap between the hopelessly lost and the hope of Jesus by raising up leaders to impact their communities with the gospel, one person, family, and neighborhood at a time. We dream of communities radically transformed because we were bold enough to bridge the gap, where shattered relationships are restored and the chains of addiction are broken and true purpose is discovered, and where lives are changed for generations. That's our vision. And every one of us sitting here right now knows people. You have people in your circles of influence, in your family, in your job, in your neighborhood, where you work out at the gym, who are lost, whose marriages are crumbling and falling apart, who are dealing with health crises, and they're afraid that if they die tomorrow, they don't know where they're going to go. Who are dealing with addictions and all kinds of other afflictions. Jesus is the answer to all of that. We have that answer, and we must bridge that gap. And so as we begin 2024, here's what we're going to do. We're going to throw down a challenge as a church. And we're calling it simply our Bridge the Gap Challenge. This is it. Bridge the Gap Challenge. And I'm going to ask you to do some things, to commit to some things, to covenant with us, to do this together as a church. It's going to take everybody, everyone committing to this in order to make this happen. And so number one, we're going to start to share. And how are we going to do that? Well, I fully believe this. Lots of people set goals. It's the new year. Most people do not set specific enough goals, and they don't put a timeline on it. And you know what happens to goals that don't have specifics and don't have a timeline? They almost never get accomplished. And so here's what we're going to ask you to do. Here's the challenge we're throwing down. We're going to ask you to think about five people, your circle of five. They can be in your job, your family, your gym, wherever it is. Five people that you're going to begin to pray for regularly. And I cannot stress enough the importance of beginning to pray for those people and for the opportunity to share the gospel with them, to invite them to church. And even if it's not our church, I want to make this clear. Maybe one of your five is somebody who is hours away from here. That's okay. The mission is not to build True North Church. The mission is to build the church. And so I want to challenge you to think of five people that you're going to begin to pray for and you're going to begin to build a relationship with. Maybe you already have a relationship with them, but you're going to take it to the next level. You're going to serve them. You're going to care for them. And so number one, you share. You share, you share, you share. Number two, how are we going to bridge this gap, right? We're going to share and we're going to invite, but then we're going to serve here at True North Church. We have so many people who are serving, but let me tell you something. As you begin to share, as you begin to pray for those people that you want to introduce Jesus to and invite them to this church, here's what's going to happen. People are going to come. The Holy Spirit is going to do his work. There are going to be more and more people come, more kids, more students, more families. And in order to make sure that when they do come here, that we are prepared to meet them with the gospel and the good news of Jesus Christ to the best of our ability, we're going to need more people to step up and to serve and to volunteer their time here to make that happen. And then finally, we're going to share, we're going to serve. It is going to take financial resources. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that here in a second, why it's going to take financial resources. But we need to share, we need to serve, and we're challenging you to sow, to simply give consistently to financially support the mission. Because as more people come into this church, it is going to increase expenses. We have, I want to share with you very quickly, on a pub table back in our welcome space, we do have our budgets for this year. For 2024. And I want to share something really exciting with you about our budget this year. When we started the church, we said this: we're going to give a minimum of 10% to outreach from day one, no matter how hard that is, no matter how much some of that, those dollars could go to other things, staffing, ministry expenses, whatever. We're starting there because we believe if we don't start there, we'll never get there. But that was never meant to be the be-all, end-all goal for us. Because the way we see it is, we want to lead the way in generosity as a church. For us, 10% was the bare minimum. For us, Jesus gave everything. He gave his all to us. He did not hold back anything on the cross. And so we're going to give as much as we can possibly give. And so this year, we made the decision to increase to 15%. And that might not seem like that much, but it is a significant jump to our budget. It's about $16,000 or $17,000. It's a lot of money. And it is taking a step of faith for us. We only increased our budget by about 6% this year. 5% of that is to go right back out, to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ, to bridge the gap so that people might know Jesus. We are taking that seriously. And what we're doing is we're asking you to come along with us. Come along with us. We're praying, believing that this community is going to step up and faithfully give so that we can accomplish that mission. I also want to let you know we're going to begin sponsoring two new mission organizations. This is, again, super exciting to me. As we increased that outreach giving, what it's going to allow us to do is bring on two new ministry partners that we're going to get to serve and partner with. One of those is called Renewal Project Africa. We'll have more information on that on our website, on who they are. We'll put it on our community outreach wall here shortly. But they are an amazing organization that is planting churches in Eastern Africa near Mombasa. I had an opportunity to go there this past summer and spend some time with the guy who is leading that ministry, Gideon Banda. They're doing phenomenal work, planting churches all over the place. Hundreds and hundreds of people. I believe one day thousands of people will come to know Jesus because of what they are doing. We get to now sponsor them and support them monthly. And then the other one is actually a local ministry that we're excited to partner with. There's an organization called the Pittsburgh Kids Foundation. And they're doing, I think what's so cool is they're doing things here and they're also doing some things internationally. They have an amazing ministry here that provides funding for kids to go to camps where they hear the gospel. Among other things, they also have a ministry in Haiti. There's an orphanage there where they're supporting children who would be lost without what they're doing. And so we now get an opportunity to come alongside of them with a pretty substantial monthly gift to be able to support them. And so what I ask of you is this: as we step out in faith, as we step out to lead the way in generosity, would you prayerfully consider what it would look like for you to partner with us? And I want to ask you to do that in two ways. One, if you have never made a commitment to give consistently to support this ministry, would you simply just pray about that? Would you pray about it? And then would you pick a percentage of what God has blessed you with, and would you begin to give that regularly? I would challenge you, do it for 3 months. Do it for 90 days and see if you even miss it. Do it for 90 days and see if God doesn't take care of all of your needs. I promise you he will. It's not a prosperity gospel thing. It's a, if you give, God will take care of you. As you step out in faith, he absolutely will. So if you've never given, I challenge you to do that. And if you're already giving, I want to challenge you to prayerfully consider what it might look like for you to bump up a percentage or two in 2024, to give a little bit more, to fulfill the mission that God is calling us to here. At the end of the day, we know this. We can't do this without you. But I absolutely know, I've seen this community rise to the challenge so many times. You will. I just know you will. I don't know who it's gonna be, but I know you will. And I know God will provide everything that we need to accomplish all that he has called us to. We're gonna share, we're gonna serve, we're gonna sow. And here's what we're dreaming about. This is the exciting part to me. As we do that, this is the number that God brought to my mind. In 5 years, we have approximately 100 adults and students here who I would call core to True North Church. If every one of us reaches just one person per year over the next 5 years, that's 500 people being discipled in this church in 5 years. 5 years from now, I want to look back and I want to go, wow, God blew away that number. I mean, I think that's a pretty big, audacious goal to say that in 5 years, we're going to be a church that is discipling 500 people. But I also think sometimes we aim way too low. Who knows what God is going to do with this challenge if we actually step up and take it seriously. And so on the heels of that, here's the question. I mean, I don't know if you look around the seats right now, but we don't got room for 500 people. And so in order to begin to proactively plan for that, we could sit back and we could wait and we could just wait till this place is so packed out that there's no parking and there's no seats. I'll be honest, there's actually not a whole lot of parking now. The parking's limited as it is. So we're already pretty close. We're at about 90% parking capacity a lot of Sundays and about 70 to 80% seating capacity in here on a lot of Sundays. If we're gonna make room for those 500 people, we gotta have a plan in place. And so here's a big piece of news. On January 28th, we are going to two services at True North Church. We're going to two services. And I want you to hear this. We're going to two services because we need to make room for all of the people that God is going to bring because you were faithful in bridging the gap, because you took the boldness to do that. We're believing that by faith. We're gonna make the room now so that when they show up here, there's a seat for them. And so those two services, we wanna let you know, are gonna be at 9 and 10:45. We are praying, and I have been praying, that that split is gonna be fairly even. We're gonna be sending out a poll sometime in the next couple of days just to kind of get an idea and gauge what service you think you might want to attend. We may be asking some of you, and this is where a little bit of sacrifice is going to come into play. We may be asking some of you, would you consider, at least for 6 months, going to the other service so that we can make sure that that's balanced, right? For our kids' ministry, this is vitally important. Right now, with the staffing that we have, we are only gonna be able to provide kids ministry at one of those services. And I don't like that. That does not sit well with me. I want to be able to provide kids ministry at both services so that we're not pigeonholing people into that one service who have children. In order to do that, it's gonna require some sacrifice to get there. I'll talk about that in just a second. And so we are on January 28th. That is in 3 weeks, folks. We are going to two services. Our leadership team has known about this for a while. We have been preparing behind the scenes, but we're gonna really ramp this up. over the next few weeks, right? 9 and 10:45. I know it's going to add complication. It's going to add work. It is. But it's about sacrificing for the lost. All right, the second thing we're going to do, we're going to start dreaming about having our own space. We love it here. We are so thankful for Eden. We have an amazing partnership with them. But this space is only going to be able to fit us for so long. And so we've started dreaming about that, started planning for that. Twice a year, here's what we're going to do. We're going to hold two offerings a year that we're just going to call future expansion offerings. And twice a year, we're going to ask you to step up and to prayerfully consider what it would look like to give towards that initiative. It's going to cost greatly in order to do that. Everybody here knows what property costs. It's an expensive endeavor. But we're going to do it in the name of reaching more people. And then finally, we're going to plant churches. Our desire is to plant more churches in Pittsburgh. And so some of those 500 might end up, we might break 50 of them off, 100 of them off, and send them to go plant another church somewhere in Pittsburgh. That's multiplication that I can get behind, that I could get excited about. And so it's a three-tiered approach. I want you to hear that today. We're going to go to two services to make room. We're going to begin to pray